Well, China has suspended a diplomatic agreement that allowed for regular talks with Australia on economic issues. Its first swipe at diplomatic arrangements as tensions apparently deepen with our biggest trading partner. Beijing announced the move, citing what it calls Australia's Cold War mentality and ideological discrimination. The federal government says it's regrettable. So what does it all mean? Our China correspondent Bill Birtles joins us. Bill, what is the economic cooperation framework to start with?
Well, Linda, it's basically an agreement that the two governments signed 8 years ago for regular talks between the Treasurer, the Trade Minister and their Chinese counterparts. And obviously they would hold these regular talks about trade issues. And during the good times, it would have meant looking at ways to expand the existing free trade agreement, to look at ways of bolstering ties and trying to find new economic avenues of cooperation. But in reality, for the past 3 to 4 years, these talks haven't taken place anyway because the Chinese government put a bit of a freeze on Australian ministerial visits to Beijing.
Is this linked to the federal government's recent decision to cancel Victoria's Belt and Road deal with China?
Well, it appears to be. Chinese government isn't specifically saying that, but the National Development and Reform Commission, which is the planning body in China's government, which oversees this diplomatic agreement, it said that the Commonwealth government has taken a series of actions in recent times which disrupt normal relations. And it also blamed the Australian side for ideological discrimination. So you would think it is pretty proportional retaliation for that Belt and Road Agreement, which the federal government scrapped, because, of course, some critics pointed out that the deal that the Victorian government had with the Chinese government on the Belt and Road infrastructure plan, it didn't have any tangible projects attached to it. It was kind of symbolic. And in the same way, this strategic economic framework that Beijing is suspending today, once again, nothing's actually been happening with it for the past 3 or 4 years.
Right, but we're not exactly getting out of the freezer, are we? So what's the government saying about this?
Well, the Trade Minister, Dan Tehan, said that it is regrettable, and he said that Australia is committed, remains committed to this strategic economic cooperation mechanism. He noted, though, that no talks had actually taken place under it since 2017, perhaps alluding to how little it has achieved in recent years. Not much more to say on it from the government, but the opposition leader, Anthony Albanese, chipped in saying that he believes there needs to be a continuation of communication.
Well, this is unfortunate. We do need dialogue with China. It can't be just on their terms, though. It's got to be on both countries' terms. And so this is regrettable.
So that was the opposition leader, Anthony Albanese. But you could tell from his language saying that it can't be on Beijing's terms, that both the opposition and the government coming from a relatively similar position on this.
Mm. And just quickly, Bill, you know, the economic pain is being felt in quite a number of sectors. You know, where is it hitting hardest? And of course, it's not hitting iron ore yet, is it?
No, it's not. And it's probably because China doesn't have many alternative suppliers who can bring in what Australia can export. If you look at Brazil, they've had various export problems, some of them linked to the pandemic. You often hear Chinese government plans to develop new iron ore mines in various African countries. But what's often pointed out is that these are long-term pipeline projects. It's not going to have an imminent effect. And although China seems to be quite determined to ratchet up its tense relationship with Australia, and some would say the Australians are determined to do the same, both sides digging in, a much bigger priority for the Chinese government is to maintain a relatively high level of economic growth. How do they do that? By continuing to build. What do they need for that steel? And where do they get the input for steel? Australian iron ore.
Always there to help, aren't we? Thanks very much, Bill.
Thanks.
Bill Birtles, our China correspondent there.